So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the fifth canto, the 18th chapter, which is entitled The Residents of Jambudvip Offer Prayers, and we're reading text 10. Magara Dharatma Javita Bandushu. Sango Yadi Syat Bhagavat Priyeshuna. Ya prana vritya paridushta atmavan. Siddhyatya duranath tendriya priya. Makara dharatma javita bandushu. Sango yadi syat bhagavat priyeshuna.
Sango yadi syat bhagavat priyeshuna.
Ya prana vritya paritushta atmavan.
Prana vritya paritushta atmavan.
Siddhyatya duranath tendriya priya. Vaishnavas, Magara Dharatma Javita Bandushu, Sango Yadi Syat Bhagavat Priyeshuna, Yat Prana Vritya Paritushta Atmavan. Siddhartha Duranati Tendriya Priya. Makara Duratma Javita Bandushu. Sango Yadi Syat Bhagavat Priyeshuna. Ya prana nitya paritushta atmavan. Siddhyatya duranati tendriya priya. Vaishnavis. Nagara daratma javita bandushu. Ya Sankhya Sat Bhagavat Priyeshuna.
Prana Vritya Paritushya Atmavan.
Ma. Not. Agara. House. Dara, wife. Atmaja, children. Vita, bank balance. Bandushu, among friends and relatives. Sangha,
association or attachment.
Yadi, if. Syat, there must be. Bhagavat Priyeshu, among persons to whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear. Persons to whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear. Na, of us. Ya, anyone who. Prana vritya. By the bare necessities of life. Parituṣṭa. Satisfied. Atmavan, who has controlled his mind and realized his self. Siddhyati, becomes successful. Adurat, very soon. Na, not. Tata, so much. Indriya Priya, A person attached to sense gratification. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.S. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, we pray that we may never feel attraction for the prisons of family life, consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on. If we do have some attachment, let it be for devotees whose only dear friend is Krishna. A person who is actually self-realized and who has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. He does not try to gratify his senses. Such a person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness, whereas others who are too attached to material things find advancement very difficult. Purport. When Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested to explain the duty of a Vaishnava, a Krishna conscious person, he immediately said, Asat Sanga Tyag, a Vaishnava Achar. The first business of a Vaishnava is to give up the association of persons who are not devotees of Krishna and who are too attached to material things, wife, children, bank balance, and so on. Prahlad Maharaj also prays to the personality of Godhead that he may avoid the association of non-devotees attached to the materialistic way of life. If he must be attached to someone, he prays to be attached only to a devotee. A devotee is not interested in unnecessarily increasing the demands of the senses for gratification. Of course, as long as one is in the material world, one must have a material body, and it must be maintained for executing devotional service. The body can be maintained very easily by eating Krishna prasad. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patrang pushpang palang toyang yome bhaktya pranachchati tadaham bhaktyu parityam ashnami paritatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Why should the menu be unnecessarily increased for the satisfaction of the tongue? Devotees should eat as simply as possible. Otherwise, attachment for material things will gradually increase, and the senses, being very strong, will soon require more and more material enjoyment. Then the real business of life, to advance in Krishna consciousness, will stop. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutadaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachaya Sitarane Mukam Karati Vachalam Pangam Langayate Giri Yat Kripat Vam Maham Bande Shri Guru Dinatanam Om Agenat Mirandasya Ganangana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmilatam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. This is a wonderful chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of my favorite chapters, and there's so many wonderful verses and purports in this chapter. But before I speak on today's verse, I want to speak on something that happened just before I started to give Bhagavatam class. And it made me think, and now because I'm thinking about that, I want to speak about that for a minute or two. When I sat down here, there was a Chaitanya Charitamrita on the book stand. And I said, when is that from? Because we read Bhagavatam every day, we only read Chaitanya Charitamrita on the weekend. So that's from Sunday. Well, what happened on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? Today is Thursday. Well, there was no one advanced enough to speak Bhagavatam except Srila Prabhupada, was the answer that I received. And so the book was still here, open, by the way. And I assume Prabhupada gave a lecture, or we listened to a recording of Prabhupada, yeah. But the fact is that Prabhupada wouldn't be very happy with that answer. And it's not even bona fide, it's bogus. Because if you hear this prayer, Om Maganati Medandasya, or better even, by the mercy of the spiritual master, the blind man can see, the lame man can climb mountains, and the dumb man can speak eloquent verses. Of course, in that verse, dumb man means somebody who can't speak. But if we take it in the colloquial rendition of dumb, we can say someone who doesn't have a whole lot of intelligence. By the mercy of the spiritual master, we're able to speak. Even somebody who's been around for 50 years, if he doesn't have the mercy of the spiritual master, he'll only speak nonsense. So the ability to speak comes from our relationship with Srila Prabhupada and the book, the Bhagavatam devotee and the Bhagavatam book, Bhagavad Gita book, all the books that talk about Krishna. And if we want to please our spiritual master, because we chant every morning these prayers, the Guru Ashtakam prayers, who knows the last one? What does it mean? And without? You can't make any advancement. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, you can't make any advancement. And you can't speak either. But if you don't speak, if you don't at least try to get the mercy of the spiritual master, then you won't make any advancement. You have to stretch. And stretch means that you get up and you speak even though you don't really know so much, or you learn a lot and then you speak, or whatever you have to do, but you have to speak. Everyone should speak the Bhagavatam every day, somebody. When Srila Prabhupada came to New York, it was 1965-6, around there, late 65-6. In 1967, Srila Prabhupada left New York and he went to San Francisco. And the devotees in New York, we thought, where are you going? And we're here, you know, all of us are here, devotees are here, you're here, where are you going? Prabhupada said, well, you know, we're starting a temple in San Francisco. There's devotees there. Mukunda has gotten a temple, now I have to go to San Francisco. We have a worldwide movement. He named the society, right? International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That even included Slovenia. And the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was in Prabhupada's vision when Prabhupada was in New York with just a few people on 26 Second Avenue. They didn't have the vision to see an international society. They were just thinking, this is our little family, we have Swamiji here, and aren't we lucky? You know, he's cooking for us every day, and it's so nice. And then all of a sudden, the understanding, Prabhupada had a much bigger vision. Just like Prabhupada, there's that nice story where Prabhupada is sitting on a park bench in New York, and some man sits next to him and asks him, you must be very lonely. You're here from India, obviously. He's wearing a dhoti, and who in New York in 1965 is wearing a dhoti? He says, Prabhupada says, no. I have many, many temples, many restaurants, many schools. I have many disciples. They're just separated by time. So Prabhupada already had that vision. He knew that this movement was going to be an international society for Krishna consciousness. He had that vision from the very beginning. And so when the devotees in New York were thinking, where are you going? Prabhupada was thinking, what do you mean? Where am I going? I'm going to do what I started to do. I'm going to establish the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That's what Prabhupada wanted to do. And Prabhupada wanted us to do that. Now, Srila Prabhupada left us physically in 1977, November. And it's been a struggle, having to walk in his footsteps, having to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, having to sustain and maintain what he's already established. It's been a struggle, but we have to do it. because that's what Prabhupada wanted us to do. And yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadad nagatikatopi. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, we can't make spiritual advancement, and that which will please the spiritual master is that we maintain what he's done and we spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. That's what Prabhupada wanted us to do. And if we don't do it, then he won't be happy. And if he's not happy, we don't make spiritual advancement. So if you're thinking, I'm just going to take care of number one, you're in illusion. And so whatever it takes, I once asked a mentor of mine, Bhojan Prabhu, how do you give Bhagavatam class? And he said to me, first... Well, actually, it wasn't Bhagavatam class I was asking him about. It was as teaching Bhakti Shastri. And I asked him, and he said, well, first you prepare, and then before you speak, you chant. And chant as long as you have to, he said. You just chant until... Because when you first sit down to give class, you always feel like you're going to faint. At least I always feel like I'm going to faint. I think some of my God brothers and God sisters, they just kind of do it because they're so expert. But for me, I don't know anything. So I have to chant until I can, not so nervous, so I can speak. And then he said, and then you pray. You pray like anything, and then you speak. And when you speak, you don't even know where it comes from. It comes from Krishna. Comes from Prabhupada. Because really, what can we say? We can't say anything. But Prabhupada can give us mukam karati vachalam pangam langayate gurim. By the mercy of the spiritual master, anyone can speak. So you have to practice. Those boys that were in 26 Second Avenue when Prabhupada left, and Prabhupada, they said, where are you going? Prabhupada said, put a picture of me on the Vyasasan and chant every day in that picture, and in front of that picture, then you and me will be packed up tight together. And then he told them, you give Bhagavatam class every day and speak what you learn from reading and from your realization. And at that time, we didn't even have Bhagavad Gita. There was no Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita wasn't even printed. All we had was the first three volumes of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it was written in very Indian style. Right? English was not good. Prabhupada didn't have a word processor. There was no computers at the time. Believe it or not, we lived without computers. So there was no computer, no word processor. Prabhupada did all the editing himself, but obviously, English was his second language, and then he had to oversee the printing and the typesetting, so the editing was a little bit desirable. The quality was a little bit desirable. Prabhupada even speaks about it in the Bhagavatam. Please just accept the offering without considering the difficulties. So that's all we had. And we had one other thing. We had a printed copy of Easy Journey to Other Planets. That was the other book we had at the beginning. And from that book, and those books, Srila Prabhupada told us to speak. Some of the devotees had been, the longest devotees had been in the movement 3 months. The oldest of us were 23. And we were all coming from a background which was not very pious. None of us were hardly following at least two of the regulative principles we didn't even consider. There was like, what? But some of us were vegetarian. But other than that, the four regulative principles, gambling, we didn't really think, what is gambling? We didn't realize we were gambling with our life. We thought, gambling, what does that mean? Betting the horses? No, I don't do that. But intoxication and illicit sex life, where was standard operating procedure. I mean, that's what life is all about. What else do you live for? So here we were, and then 3 months later, Prabhupada dragged us off the street, literally sometimes would go to the coffee shop and get us out and say, come to Bhagavatam class. You know, and then he'd feed us some chapatis and some dal and some rice, and then he told us to speak the Bhagavatam. And he told us to speak the Bhagavatam, to give class to each other. And somehow we did it, and somehow here we are 50 years later, 51 years later, and our movement is still going on. Hare Krishna. If you want it to go on for another 51 years, you better get your act together. Because it's depending on you. In case you haven't noticed, we're on the way out. All of us, we're gone. Haribo. In a few years, we won't see you anymore. Hasta luego. So I don't know how to say it in Slovenian, but be wise. Okay? Because you don't have so much time. Do it now while people are here that can help and you have seniors. That was something we never had. We had one senior devotee in the whole movement. That was Prabhupada. And once he took off, you know. He went to San Francisco, then he went to India, then he went all over the world, and he was off, gone, traveling. So while you have seniors who can help you, while you have people in the material world who need spiritual life, I think that's probably going to go on a long time, then you need to preach. And not just by giving a book out on the street, that's nice, but by telling people and about the Bhagavatam, telling each other, enlightening and enlivening one another by conversing about me. That's what it says in the Bhagavad Gita. That's what the devotees do. They enlighten and enliven one another by speaking about Krishna. Right? That's what they do. So I hope while I'm here, I will hear each one of you give Bhagavatam class. I already told Ananta Prabhu that I'm not going to speak unless I hear him give Bhagavatam class. Because in all the time I've been coming to Slovenia, I've never heard him give class. He hides when the senior devotees come. He said, okay, I'll speak when all the senior devotees are gone. No, that's okay, I can be here. So please, I hope that I hear you give Bhagavatam class. If you speak in Slovenia, I'll get a chance later. But you should all give class. There's no right or wrong. You just speak what Prabhupada says, your understanding, and have some discussion. This is your responsibility. Okay, enough of that. Now I'll go back to the verse. So this this verse, this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is very powerful. The last verse, the one you heard yesterday, that's a really amazing verse. Every verse is amazing, but that one is really amazing. And now Prahlad Maharaj and the residents of Jambudvip, they're continuing their prayers. So they prayed, maybe you don't even remember that verse because it wasn't really yesterday that you heard it. I don't know when you heard it. Svastiastu, did you hear that verse from Prabhupada? Did Prabhupada speak on that verse? This verse, may there be good fortune throughout the universe? Or was that too long ago? You don't even remember it.
It was Saturday.
It was brief spoken. Oh, then maybe I'll speak on both of these. Because this verse is the most amazing verse. It says, may there be good fortune throughout the universe. May all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. This verse is great if you ever do any kind of interfaith preaching. This is a very good verse to speak. Because everybody can relate to it. Everybody's thinking they want welfare for everybody, right? Welfare means give clothes, give food, right? Get housing. Take care of wounded people, children who are poor and destitute and don't have Barbie dolls and Lego sets. Make sure that they're taken care of, that they get Christmas presents. But here is the truest welfare work. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying that let everybody become free from envy, because unless everybody becomes free from envy, there'll be no question of welfare in this world. Because as long as people are envious of each other, even though they speak about welfare, actually they're thinking with him, what's in it for me? And even my taking care of you is ultimately what's in it for me. That's what I'm thinking. What am I going to get out of this? Am I going to get fame? Am I going to get profit? Am I going to get adoration? Am I going to make some money? Then I get some money from the government. I spend 35% on welfare work, and I keep the other 70% or 65% for myself. So unless the world is free from envy, people won't be satisfied, and they won't be able to really be concerned about the welfare of other people. They won't be able to. So that's why he says, may all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. If they practice bhakti yoga, then they'll become free from envy. Right? They'll become sincerely wishing the welfare of other people. This is what Prabhupada was, such a person. That he came all the way from India at an old age because he was concerned about the welfare of other people. And when he saw how degraded the people were in the West, he didn't think, oh my God, it's a hopeless case. They don't even have money. We didn't have any money. Prabhupada didn't think, oh my goodness, they don't have any money. What am I going to do here? I better go back. Or like some of his contemporaries did that came, they preached uptown to the old ladies, right? The old ladies who wanted to know about yoga and wanted to do meditation because they had money. They could pay. But to the people that Prabhupada was preaching to, we didn't have any money. We didn't even have a house or a place to live, and we didn't even have food to eat. He had to feed us. So he wasn't going to make anything. He was only coming to give. And when the reporters asked him when he came to London, why did you come to London? His response was, to help you remember what you have forgotten. To teach you the ultimate goal of human life. So by practicing bhakti yoga, we're able to think of others' welfare because we realize that the ultimate goal of human life is going back to Godhead. And unless you do that, even if you're rich, even if you're famous, even if you're beautiful, even if you're not sick, even if you're healthy, you eat all organic, non-GMO food, and it's all vegetarian, it doesn't matter. Unless you're Krishna conscious, you're going to come back again, and who knows what form you'll come back. Maybe, some lower species or some place where you don't have an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. So it's risky business. So let all the living entities become purified by the practice of bhakti yoga so their hearts will become free from envy and they'll become calm, they'll become peaceful, they'll become pacified, and then they'll be able to think of the welfare of other living entities. So in these prayers now, Prahlad is going on again, he's speaking further, and he's saying, we, speaking of him and the residents of Jambadweep, that will never feel attraction for the prison for family life. And he gives a list of things consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on. But really what he's talking about is, don't let me become entangled in material life. Prahlad Maharaj was a grihastha, ultimately. Now he was 5 years old when he was famous. But later on, he didn't stay 5 years old forever. And he became a grihastha. He became a married person. He had quite a lineage, right? Because Bali Maharaj was his great-grandson, I believe. Yeah, great-grandson. So he had a lineage. So it's not that he was thinking, oh my God, let me go, be a brahmachari all my life, don't let me fall down into the dark well of material, householder life. But he was thinking, don't let me become entangled in material existence. And generally, material existence comes in a package. It comes in a package that has a house and a television and children and toys and a car and a job and goes on and on and on and on and on and gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the bigger it gets, the more it anchors you to the material world. So Prabhupada created a society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so that we could do everything in the association of devotees. We could eat in the association of devotees, we could marry with devotees, we could live with devotees, we could raise our children with devotees, we could eat with devotees, We could be happy being with devotees and then bring other people to Krishna consciousness by bringing them into the family of devotees. That was Prabhupada's mission. And that's where what we've come into. That's who we are, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That's what Prabhupada gave us. It's very interesting. Prabhupada says, why should the menu, meaning menu of patram, pushpam, palam, toyam, leaf, fruit, water, and flower, why should it be unnecessarily increased for the satisfaction of the tongue? And yet Prabhupada told us to have 13 course vegetarian feast at the Sunday feast. Right? Told us we should have a chutney and we should have all kinds of things. He used to cook very elaborately. We had samosas and kachoris and all, and actually the people at the Sunday feast in New York where I was, we would eat on wax paper, pieces of wax paper. You know what wax paper is?
No.
It's kind of a paper that has a wax covering on it so it doesn't, water doesn't go through it. Sometimes they use it for baking and stuff. So we would cut pieces of wax paper and put it on the floor and everyone would sit down and that's what they'd eat on. We didn't have paper plates. We weren't using paper plates. So one thing about wax paper, you can't pick it up and walk away with it because it'll rip. It's just paper, you know. So people would leave their plates on the floor when they'd get up and leave and then we would clean them up afterwards. So we would serve this amazing feast. Everyone would sit down and eat. And if there was anything left when they left, we would eat it. If there were samosas that were half eaten, we would eat the rest of them. Because we couldn't dare to waste that wonderful prasadam. It was like, how can we throw this away? There's no way we can. Because all week we ate hardly anything. We would eat so simply, you know, some bread balls. Sometimes they'd take chapati dough and make it into a ball, bake it in the oven, and then if you threw it at somebody, you could give them a concussion. So desiring to make it a little bit easier to eat, we would put it in a jar of butter and shake it up so that the hard ball would be covered with butter. And we'd eat that and dal and rice, and that was our prasadam. So on the weekend when we'd cook these 13-course super feast, we couldn't waste any of it, that's for sure. And so the people would come and they'd eat, and then we would eat their remnants. So here Prabhupada's saying, why do you have to increase the menu just for the satisfaction of the tongue? You just take what you need to eat. And one, I see my little note here says I'm supposed to stop at 8:45, and it's already 8:45. I hardly even started. So I'll end here. But one thing we should keep this attitude of gratitude, that we should be satisfied with whatever Krishna sends us. If he sends us big things, we can be satisfied with big things. But he may take those big things away, and then we have to be satisfied with little things. Because we never know. If we come attached to the things, then we're subjected to pain and suffering, happiness and distress, sukha dukkha, because things come and go, right? Sometimes you're healthy, you're feeling good, and then you don't feel so healthy, and you're feeling not so good. And then you're young, and you have a lot of energy, and then you get old, and you don't have so much energy anymore. And things are going really good, and then all of a sudden something happens, something weird that you never thought could possibly happen, and all of a sudden it happens. And you're, you know, sick, or you find out you're dying of cancer, or some crazy thing. And then your whole world goes upside down, right? And devotee is equipoised in all those things. And this is what the Bhagavatam teaches us, and this is what the Mahabharata teaches us, and this is what the Ramayana teaches us. You see Ram, you see Krishna, you see the Pandavas. They're all going through different things. All the devotees, they're all going through different things. Ram is going through different things. His wife gets kidnapped, so many looking for her, trying to save her. And we see also the Pandavas, so many sufferings are there. Queen Kunti praying, let these calamities happen again and again. So many reverses in life happen. Prabhupada, you look at his life, it wasn't all easy. It's not like someone gave him $1 million and said, here, go to America and start preaching. I'll give you a place on Fifth Avenue and you can open a center there. No, he didn't have anything. He had 40 rupees. 40 rupees is not worth anything, hardly. And in America, it wasn't worth anything at all. So he had to struggle. And sometimes he didn't think that he would succeed. Sometimes he went back to the boat to check the schedule, see when he could go back to India. He tried so many different things, starting in Jhansi, distributing back to Godheads in Delhi. He fainted. He was taken home by somebody who picked him up on the street. So life for the devotee is not always easy. Sometimes it appears easier than others. It's not always easy. But we have to become equipoise. And this is what this verse is talking about here, that let us just be satisfied with whatever Krishna gives us. Let's not try to gratify our senses. Let's just be satisfied with the association of devotees. Be grateful for the association of devotees. And whatever comes in that association, it's there to teach us. Teach us tolerance, teach us maturity, teach us the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in practice, not just in theory. So as we read these books, as we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, as we live our lives in the association of devotees, we should take advantage of the lessons that Krishna teaches us. Because if we don't, then we just have to come back in the material world again and again and again until we learn those lessons. So here's Prahlad Maharaj praying for the association of devotees, the kind of devotees who are akinchana gochara. They're free of attachment in the material world, and they only want the welfare of other devotees. So I'll stop there. And I don't know what kind of time we have, but if anyone has maybe a couple of questions, we can take a couple of questions. I have a question. Who's giving class tomorrow? Someone brave? You guys must give class. You give class. Huh? Oh, Samita Krishna Swami is not coming until after Bhagavatam class. Sorry. Nice try. Huh? Yes, evening lecture. Who thought about Bhagavatam class? Who's that? Anyway, I hope I get to give here. Some of you give class while I'm here, please. I'm here for 3 weeks. You have a lot of time to try. Please. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.